This evening, I have to admit that this evening's class was a little difficult for me to put together, primarily because the subject matter is serving with leadership, and I knew that there's going to be people in here that, the women, I guess I could call them, that's what I guess I call them, is ladies in here, and we'll have a very limited role as far as leadership goes in the Lord's church, sitting in the audience today. So being prepared for this, I had to come up with some kind of twist to it, I thought, and then I answered myself and said, no, I'm just going to teach the material. However, I did bring in some material from other sources than the curriculum that Richard and I have looked at. So here we go. Last week, we took a look at serving with wisdom. We took a strong look at the book of Proverbs, where you find a lot of wisdom statements from God in His holy word. We took a look at the characteristics of a wise person and how they can be a servant, a good servant, by using wise judgment in serving others. For instance, we said the person should not be quarrelsome, should be gentle, be patient. We said that person should be humbling, and also would be able to give correction when correction was needed. A good servant is someone that does not please himself. He recognizes his work is of the Lord, and therefore he puts people's interest in front of himself or herself. And it takes wisdom to do that. The word wisdom is found 37 times in the book of Proverbs, and usually means the ability to apply knowledge to please God with knowledge, intelligence, and skillfulness of reason. Why is that valuable when it comes to serving others? What would wisdom have to do with serving others? Serve different people differently. Could you elaborate a little bit, Mr. Summerlot? All right. What else? What is it about wisdom that you bring wisdom to the table that would make you a better servant? Okay, so you bring your personal experience to the table and being able to make wise decisions. All right, Rachel. Characteristics of wisdom, we said, number one, in James 1:15, we find that wisdom is from above. True wisdom is from above, isn't it? It's from God. It is pure. Wisdom is peaceable. It is gentle. It's full of fairness. It's willing to suffer a wrong for what is right. Full of mercy and good fruits. Wisdom is not double-minded. And the last part of last Wednesday's class, we talked about that a wise person is not a hypocrite. And we talked about a hypocrite as someone who shows one thing, says something, but yet turns around and does something that's contrary, that's different. A hypocrite is someone who is being deceitful to others for some reason. That person is being deceitful, presents himself or herself in their finest array, I guess you could call it, and then turns around and does something completely contrary to the way that they present themselves. And you and I probably know some people that you might call a hypocrite, and it's not a good thing, is it? That person would not be considered a wise person, and that person would probably not serve with wisdom for sure. Christ gave up equality with God. Christ is given a name above all names. And Christ endured the cross. Jesus found joy in doing the Father's will. Jesus found joy in serving others. And Jesus is our best example of a servant, is someone that we need to look at and follow. There is joy in serving others, isn't there? You do get something out of serving others. There's a reward there. It's not payment. It's not money. But there's a spiritual reward that you receive when you're serving others. All right, that was last Wednesday. Serving with leadership. Turn to the book of Matthew, please. Chapter 25. And like I said last Wednesday, please feel free to give comment and make sure that you participate in class this evening. I don't want to stand up here and just hear myself. I want to hear you. I hear myself all the time, so I want to hear you. Please participate. All right, chapter 25, starting with verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes." This parable that Jesus taught about the wise and the foolish virgins. If you want to pick this apart just a little bit, there's 5 virgins that showed foresight and planning and preparation and consideration. They thought there might be some kind of possible glitches, and they were going to be ready for that. Then there was 5 virgins focused on the immediate moment. They lacked foresight. They did not plan. They were not prepared. And they didn't think of possible glitches that were going to be coming. Good example of what leadership is. It's planning. It's looking at possible circumstances that might come up. It's looking at the needs of others. It's assuming a certain role to be able to provide for the needs of others. And it's doing those things that need to take place to achieve some kind of goal that the leadership wants. And when you're talking about the Lord's church, then you're talking about looking over the congregation and the people that make up that congregation, thinking about their needs. Let's go over to Luke chapter 14 and starting with verse 28. Luke 14. Verse 28. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. Another example given of being ready, of planning. Not waiting for a moment, but planning for a moment. Not reacting to something, but having some kind of plan in place to be able to carry out some kind of function or to meet some kind of goal. What I would like you to do as we're going through this evening, I'm going to ask you, like last Wednesday I said, that there's thought-provoking questions. So at the end of this evening, Bible class, here's one thought-provoking question I want you to think about right now. What applications can you make personally to this lesson? I have some quotes about leadership I want to share. Some of these are people that you might recognize. For instance, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, to do more, and become more, you are a leader. And that was from John Quincy Adams. A leader is best when people barely know he exists. When his work is done, his aim fulfilled, they will say, "We did it ourselves." That was Lao Tzu. Few people are successful unless other people want them to be. That comes from Charlie Brown. You will find yourself in service to your fellow man, your country, and your God. Mahatma Gandhi. A person who is worthy of being a leader wants power not for himself, but in order to be of service. That's United States Senator Sam Ervin. Use power to help people, for we are given power not to advance our own purposes, nor to make a great show in the world, not a name. There is but one just use of power, and it is to serve people. President George Bush. No enterprise can exist for itself alone. It ministers to some great need. It performs some great service, not for itself, but for others. Or failing therein, it ceases to be profitable and then ceases to exist. President Calvin Coolidge. He that cannot obey cannot command. That was from Benjamin Franklin. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. That was from Martin Luther King Jr. Life is a place of service. Joy can be real only if people look upon their life as a service and have a definite object in life outside themselves and their personal happiness. Leo Tolstoy. Outstanding leaders go out of their way to boost the self-esteem of their personnel. If people believe in themselves, it's amazing what they can accomplish. Sam Walton. As we look ahead into the next century, leaders will be those who empower others. And that comes from Bill Gates. Going on, let's take a look at some biblical role models. The first role model of leadership I'd like us to take a look at is Moses. He delegated, he taught others, he listened, and people could reason with him. All good attributes of a good leader. Does anybody else have anything they could add to Moses? What was his character like that would make him a good leader? What did he do that made him a good leader? What's that?
Selfless.
Yeah. is humble. He's a humble person. He listened. I didn't. See?
He was meek.
Me and Moses. I don't know.
He was meek.
He was meek. He was a meek person.
He
loved? Yeah. Yeah, he loved. Did Moses give up anything to become the Moses that we know? Yeah, he did, didn't he? He gave up a lot. Yeah. He gave to follow what God wanted. He gave up an incredible amount of I guess you would call it, secular power in Egypt. Money, fame. He was a prince. He gave that up. Anything else about Moses? What?
Patient.
Sorry, I looked down here. I don't know why. Casey says patient. I guess you'd have to be patient to be with the people at that time, right? He was wise. He made good decisions most of the time, right?
He was courageous.
Yeah. Right. We don't recommend murder, but he was a courageous person for sure. Moses. What's his leadership style? There's different styles. There's some leaders that are really, they're out there. There's some leaders that, I had a principal at school, and he was always in his office. Those days are gone. Principals can't do that anymore, by the way. Those days are gone. But he was always in his office. That was his management style. He was going to manage from his office. And if you wanted to go see him, you could, but he wasn't going to go to your classroom. What kind of management style did Moses have?
He was always among the people.
He was always around the people, yeah. Yeah, he didn't go off. He didn't leave, right? You're on your own. He was always among the people.
He was out front.
He was out front. One incident I can remember him being out front was the parting of the Red Sea. He didn't delegate that, did he? He did it himself. Well, God did it, but he's the one that had the staff. He definitely was out front. And talk about courage and faith. He stood there and God fulfilled that need, and he was faithful about it, and that sea divided, and those people crossed on dry land. Our next character is Joshua. Sought divine guidance, he held up morals, full of courage. What else about Joshua made him a good leader? Still stuck to it, yeah.
He was dedicated to serving God.
Very dedicated person, that's for sure. Kevin?
Faith, yeah, a lot of faith that God would take care of
him. He did, didn't he? Incredible amount of faith. Faith that God would take care of him. What else about Joshua? Nothing else about Joshua. All right, well, we'll leave him be. If you think of something, bring it up. Next character, there was a, I want to tell you about the special class that we had on leadership that probably a lot of you here in the auditorium went to. We had probably around an average of 50 people go to this leadership class. It was at 5 o'clock on a Sunday night for quite a while. It was taught by Dan and David and put together by Dan and David, and it was wonderful. We had people from other congregations came to it. And one of the characters that we spent a lot of time on was Nehemiah, as a leader, and referenced him quite a bit. Nehemiah was concerned with the welfare of others. He appealed for helpers. Nehemiah was known not to compromise, and Nehemiah, you could say that he was a big encourager, wasn't he? He encouraged others. Those are all great attributes of leadership. I met with the young adults at my house, must have been 4 months ago or so, I don't know. I told the guys there, I said, what are you doing right now to prepare yourself to be deacons and elders in the Lord's church? And I said, don't wait. Don't wait until you're a lot older to start thinking about that. I said, what are you doing right now to prepare yourself to serve God in that capacity? Nehemiah is a great, great character reference for leadership. He took a situation that had to be done, and he got the job done. Did he have help? Did Nehemiah ask for help? Yeah. And the people responded, didn't they? You know, if somebody stands and asks for help and nobody's responding, it could be that person's leadership ability is in question. Somebody stands and asks for help and people respond greatly to that person in that situation, it could be because of that person's leadership. Next character, the Apostle Paul. He's able to teach, rebuke others, and also encourage others. What other characteristics can you think of when we talk about the Apostle Paul? Makes him a good leader.
Selfless.
Selfless. I like that, yeah. Very selfless.
Steadfast.
Grounded in the faith. He didn't move, did he? He wouldn't move away from a certain position, that's for sure. And if somebody else did, he was the one that could rebuke him, right? He's the one that came to him and said, you're doing this wrong. It needs to be done this way. This is God's way to do it. Paul was a great, great leader. Probably had leadership abilities before he became a Christian. And brought those leadership abilities into Christianity, and became the apostle that we know and read about. Yeah, that's true. Paul had a lot of perseverance. Did Paul have any conflict in his life? Did Paul have to go through anything in his life? I mean, the man suffered for the cause of Christ, didn't he? Paul saw a reward, though. He saw something in the future, a reward that God was going to give him. He was sure of it. He wrote about it. He wanted us to know about it. He wanted us to know what a great God that we serve and to how to glorify God and how to worship God. And how to have a relationship with God. Unbelievable leadership qualities. All right, I'm going to go through a list of qualities of good leaders, and if you have anything to talk about, if you have anything to add, please feel free. All right, here we go. Good leaders are good followers, like good teachers or good students. Good leaders are good followers. Any comment on that? True, false, indifferent? Good leaders are good followers. What do you think?
True.
All right. Novell says true. So I'm going to go with Novell. All right. Yeah, 500 points, Novell. Good job. A good teacher is a good student. You think of somebody that you had in school that was a great teacher. I bet that person was a good student. You think of somebody who teaches the Bible. That person should be a student of the Bible, right? That's what you expect. Good leaders lead. Seems kind of strange to say that, because why would you even call them leaders? But good leaders have to be the ones that lead. Good leaders are exemplary. They're good examples for others to see, aren't they? If you have somebody that you admire as a leader, you know they're a good example. Good leaders are always growing. They don't come to a plateau and stop growing. Christianity is a taught religion. Christianity is a religion where you grow within it, if you allow yourself to grow. And a good leader grows and continues to grow and does those things that would available to help him or her grow, right? Good leaders are serious Bible students. Serious Bible students. What can I say about Bible study? I mean, for one thing, you're to a Wednesday night crowd that decides to come on Wednesday night and study the Bible, right? Thank you for coming. Good leaders are visionary and goal-orientated. What's the name of the program that we started back in February? It had like a little book on it. Anybody remember the name of that? Nobody remembers. You get another 500 points, Novell. You got 1,000. Labors together with God. Labors together with God. Took a lot of work. The main purpose was for to get the congregation involved in the work of God. That was the main purpose. Took planning and a lot of foresight in that. And then for it to work, it takes people that share in that planning and foresight. So good leaders have to be visionary. Good leaders are enthusiastic. Have you ever been around a leader that's, not enthusiastic? Some of you might have bosses that fall in this category, they show up in the morning with their head down and so on and so forth, and they don't show enthusiasm. Good leaders are enthusiastic. I have a boss right now at my school. She's very enthusiastic about her job. It's catchy. If the leader is enthusiastic, it's going to catch people throughout your organization or business and in the Lord's church. Good leaders have to be enthusiastic. Good leaders are optimistic, looking on the bright side of things, I guess you call it. Be optimistic. Good leaders are committed to excellence. Good leaders are vigilant, looking over, watching out for others.
Who's in an exalted position.
Yeah. Great comment, and you tied up the whole end of the class. That was really good, Joe. Because that was one of my thought-provoking questions, was what applications can you make personally to this lesson? See, Joe, that's 1,000 points, so 1,000. What's that? Joe said that the attributes that I'm giving here, which comes from Wendell Winkler, by the way, the attributes that I'm giving here on what makes a good leader, optimistic, vigilant, enthusiastic, goal-orientated, all these are things that you personally apply to yourself to lead yourself down the right path in your mind. That it's not just for somebody that's in some kind of leadership role or position, but it's very personal, which was hopefully the tie that we were going to make at the end of class. Right. All right, I'd like to finish this off. Good leaders are willing to face the unpleasant. Good leaders are humble. We talked about Moses being a humble person. Good leaders are trustworthy. Good leaders are winsome. Good leaders multiply themselves. That's something that you have to think about. Good leaders should somehow be able to reproduce themselves and have other good leaders, that's for sure. A good leader must have people skills, must be good listeners. I'd probably be a better listener for Rachel if, you know, there's the distance thing here, but Rachel knows I love her. Good leaders must be kind, must be respectful of people. Good leaders must have a sense of humor. Wendell Winkler brings up Proverbs 17:22. Do you think good leaders need to have a sense of humor? A good sense of humor? Good leaders must have the right idea and attitude about the congregation. And when I was reading this in the book written by Wendell Winkler, he was talking about people that are in leadership position and they kind of exalt themselves above others. And of course, Wendell said, you know, that's a big no-no if you're going to be, if you're a deacon or elder, someone that you exalt yourself above someone. Should never be. You should have a genuine interest in the people of the congregation. That's a lot more than a high-bye relationship on a Sunday morning, you know, after worship and everybody goes their own way. It's a lot deeper than that. A good leader needs to have that kind of relationship with people where that person feels comfortable enough to sit down with them and talk and express their needs and their heart. That takes a deeper relationship than just a high-bye relationship there. All right, ready for thought-provoking questions. Number one, Joe answered a lot. See if you can add to it. What applications can you make personally to this lesson about leadership? Leadership within your own family. How so, Jerry? Good, yeah. All those principles, Jerry says, apply as a father and a family. It's a great example. Anybody else? Personal application, leadership qualities. Your daily life. Cain. Good, yeah. Leadership training. It's a whole nother class, boy. Leadership training. All right, number two. What expectations do you have for your Christian leaders? What expectations do you have of your Christian leaders? I thought that was a thought-provoking question. What expectations do you have? Honest. Steadfast and honest.
Faithful.
Expect your leaders to be faithful. That'd be a bad example to be unfaithful, wouldn't it?
And
it's kind of done. What's
not
that?
Afraid to stand for the truth.
Not afraid to stand for the truth. That was two bells, wasn't it?
Yep.
Thanks for staying with me. Everybody have a good evening.